Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Actor and writer Claire Dunn, good afternoon.
How are you?
Claire, you're a busy woman. So you have, you're in a great new Irish film, Kathleen Is Here. Mm-hmm. Next month, we'll see you in Small Things Like These with Cillian Murphy. You won Best Actress at the IFTAs this year for RTE's Kin, mm-hmm. where you play Amanda, the boss, of course. And Kin has gone worldwide now on Netflix and BBC, I think.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about all of that, but through the medium of your life in five songs. So will we get straight down to it? Your first choice is Sinead O'Connor. What does this bring you back to?
Brings me back to my childhood when my mom used to be a vivid listener of the radio. Jerry Ryan back in the day. But it brings me back to my mom and her sisters, and her sister Caroline used to make me listen to loads of different songs, and one of them was the Sinead O'Connor one that we're about to listen to, but she also made me learn it off and sing it. And I was
No. Because it's an easy song to sing. Anyone can sing that song.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's what it brings me back to. Just like all the aunties and lots of ladies in my house.
You're it sounds like going back the generations, you grew up in a real matriarchy. Was it like a load of strong women and the odd man here and there? Yeah.
We'll see what my dad says about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got a lot of women around me. Like, I've got five sisters, and I just have a very big extended family anyway. So yeah, loads of girls around me.
Okay, let's have a listen to Claire Dunn's first choice. This is Sinead O'Connor, and This Is Nothing Compares to You.
Since you've been
Sinead O'Connor there, Nothing Compares to You, and that's actor and writer Claire Dunn's first music choice today. Mm-hmm. It's always interesting what happens while the music is being played mm-hmm. with people, because sometimes the person might talk to you, or sometimes like people are grooving to the music, but I think the two of us there just went into a kind of our own slightly sad reveries listening to that, didn't we? It was kind of weird.
Like, a little bit, yeah. Well, yeah. Because Sinead is sadly gone now as well, and she sort of reverberates with a lot more now.
So you mentioned your dad there. So, and I didn't mean to suggest that he was not the boss, but he was blessed among women. I saw you say somewhere though that he's a bit like Colm Meaney's character. what's it called, Desi Curley in The Snapper? Yeah.
Well, that's a little bit harsh on him now. he's a great dad though. He's brilliant. Like, he's very dedicated to all the ladies in his life, would say. And he was a hugely positive influence on me, especially creatively, like, actually. So
when you were a kid, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He used to sit me on the back step, like, listening to vinyl records and telling me all about different songs and different musicians.
What was he into, like?
A lot of the classics of what he would have been into, the Beatles, for one, and which I actually picked as one of the songs I know, which is directly related to him, and David Bowie. I remember actually listening to The Police as well one summer evening with him, and just, like, I really remember the first time I ever heard them.
Yeah.
And then it was really funny because years later I ended up invited to, this is a real name drop moment, but I ended up meeting Sting.
No way.
And the first person I was ringing after was my dad, because I was just like, Dad, I met Sting, you know.
Did you hold it together when you met Sting?
Were you good?
I remember just clutching my champagne glass really tightly and just being like, yeah, and just like trying to tell myself this is actually happening. But he was very nice. Yeah, he was very cool.
Your dad brought you to your first concert too, did he?
He did, yeah. He brought me to The Verve, weirdly.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
So he
the
kept
Verve.
Up with the times, obviously.
Yeah, and then he also brought me to U2, and he brought me to Paul McCartney. Like, he literally brought me to loads of stuff when I was younger, when it was kind of like a little bit on the edge. I remember when I was like 17 going to Paul McCartney, and actually at the time we were like, geez, this could be his last concert. Little did we know.
Quick before he's gone, yeah.
But definitely my dad had a big influence on my taste in music, and he always encouraged me to like just go for things, actually. And it was really, like, I didn't realise how influential that was, because that gave me the courage to go away and study and stuff and do things like that and push myself to do more than acting. I moved into writing and stuff, as we know. So
Before we come to that, let's play this song so that that makes you think of your dad. And this is Come Together by the Beatles. Together by the Beatles, Claire Dunne's second music choice today. So you were saying about your dad encouraging you to do stuff and everything, which is always good when the parents encourage. So when did you start acting? Was it in school?
Yeah, my mum quickly copped on that I loved chatting in school because I was getting in trouble for it and talking to my mates a lot. And then she realised, you know, she was like, what do you like doing? And I didn't really have an answer except I love telling stories to my mates to make them laugh. And then so she sent me to some drama classes and improvisation and singing lessons and stuff like that by the time I was 12. So I was kind of doing those classes outside of secondary school.
And did you know pretty quickly it was your thing? Like,
I think I just, I definitely knew. I felt that thing that happens, you know, where you just feel like this, I feel like I belong here now. Yeah. This is somewhere I can be a little bit mad and expressive, but it's sort of contained in a kind of a nice vehicle.
Yeah. Because I think school itself, and, and this brings us to your next song, was tough for you at times, was it?
It was, yeah. Like, I think I'm probably common to a lot of people in their youth that experience a bit of bullying and a bit of exclusion and stuff like that. So I was a little bit lonely and, like, I don't know, just introspective for a while when I was 14 or 15. And I found things really tough. My sister Sarah was actually such a good support then. I remember, like, really clinging to her for support. But yeah, during that time, it was just like I had to dig deep to feel any sense of like confidence. And then I was lucky that I moved school. And once I moved school, I found a bunch of friends that, honest to God, are still my friends today. Mm. They're amazing. Like, we're still all really tight. So I'm really grateful for that. And those times are tough, like, for any teenager. And I think
You don't see past it.
But, like, it was a really formative moment, because I still remember having to come down to my parents and go, I'm actually really struggling and I don't think I should stay in this school because there was a bully making everyone not talk to me. I don't really know what was behind it all, but I was very alone. And I just remember I only had one friend and we both said to each other, well, we just try and get out of this school. And we actually both said it to each other and that gave us a little nudge. And then I went to my parents and said, I wonder, could I change school? And we looked around and just went, maybe this one, you know, so on and so forth. And I went in and met the principal and then joined in the fourth year, you know, the transition year.
Mm.
And that was like the making of me, because the first thing we did was a big musical. And I got to do a comedy role. I got to sing songs. I was actually ironically playing a man because it was an all-girls school, you know. So we all had to play, you know, it was gender swapping or whatever. But it really was really, really, really important, that moment. And yeah, so the song I think that you're about to introduce was a real thing. It was from an album that probably nurtured my strength of spirit and my perseverance and just my head game when I was kind of struggling.
This is the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, one of the best albums of all time, probably.
Yeah.
But or it's been listed as anyway, I think.
Oh, no, it regularly. And I know it's hugely important to so many people. So we'll take your third choice then. And it's from that album. It's Lauryn Hill. Mm-hmm. And it's Do Wop That Thing. You know I only say it because I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem, baby girl. Respect is just the minimum. You still defending them now. Women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls sell their souls because it's sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again. That's Lauryn Hill, Do Wop That Thing, and that's Claire Dunn's third choice today. So we move on from school. You ended up studying drama in Cardiff then.
Mm-hmm.
And your big break, it's interesting, right? Because I think a lot of people feel acting, trying to get into music, any of that, you have to get lucky. Like, there's so many talented people out there who didn't get lucky. But then you make your own luck too.
Mm.
So your first big break, tell us about that, how you got the school to bring over Maureen Hughes.
I was studying in Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama, and they're a really great school, by the way, and they do make actors write their own pieces at the end of each year, and I think that was a good starting point for my writing anyway. That's just a side note. But what happened there was we used to have to write letters to casting directors and agents and stuff like that and invite them to shows. And I was quite realistic and a bit savvy. I went up to the head of acting and I was like, listen, I know I'm not loaded or anything and I've had to get loads of grants to get through this course and work. Like, I was working in the student bar, working every hour I could. I was like, but if I could get an Irish casting director over, my dad said he can help me pay for the flights and would you put them up in the hotel, you know? And he went, okay, yeah. Oh, okay, well, see who you can get or whatever. But he goes, if you can get Maureen Hughes over, I'll pay for her flights and I'll put her up in the Hilton. And I went, all right, yeah, okay. So I went down to the computers in the computer room near the library and went on a few websites. And at the time, it was like IFTN website. Maureen had her email address there.
Yeah.
So I emailed her.
No, to explain to people, she's the doyen of casting directors.
One of the best casting directors. Yeah, she actually cast small things like these. She's a fabulous casting director. And I wrote to her in a real like, hi, I'm a student at this place. And I'm the lead of the musical in the new year. And if you'd like to come and attend. And I wrote with plenty of advance notice because obviously she'd have to fly over to Cardiff and stuff. And I said, and we'll fly you over and put you up in the Hilton. So she wrote back within a few hours and said, I'd love to attend. I'll put it in the diary. I said, grand, you can put it. And I put her in touch with one of the girls in the office. And I went up to Dave Bond, the head of acting. And I was like, how are you, Dave? I got Maureen. I'd printed out the email, you know. And he was sitting there like, what? Like the jaw dropped, you know. I said, yeah, there you go. I'd printed it out and put it on his desk.
And you got a gig out of it as well.
But it, well, yeah, it was like literally that was the beginning of my career, because she came over to see whatever show I was in, but I met her for a coffee beforehand. And I was sitting there with her having the chats, and she said, you know, you'd make a great Peggy and Mike. And she rang Gary Hines in front of me. And sure, I was obsessed with Drew, with Theatre Company.
Yeah.
Obsessed. That was the only thing I wanted in my acting career at the time. I was like, if I can work with Drew, Theatre Company, I've made it. And sure, she rang Gary in front of me and then said, right, I'm going to get you in for an audition next week now to read for Peggy and Mike in the Playboy of the Western World. And I flew over the next week and I auditioned and I got the role. And
still a student. Beginning.
Still a student. And Royal Welsh College were very good because they let me out to do that. And then they marked me on that performance as part of my degree. So they allow for people to work outside and like that.
Yeah, I bet they do. Yeah. And you see, people might know you did a lot of theatre before you came to TV and film, didn't you? Years in London as well, doing theatre.
Loads. I did the National Theatre a lot. I did Juno and the Paycock with Sinead Cusack and Ciarán Hinds. That was amazing. And then I did loads of stuff at the Donmar and stuff that toured with Filter Theatre, like just loads. But the Donmar is probably one of the most important things I did, because I worked with Phyllida Lloyd there, and that was kind of the beginning of me having a desire to maybe write a story. And that was that led to me writing the film herself. So that was an extremely exciting...
So the first
big
thing you wrote got made as a film?
Well, I did write some theatre before that.
Okay.
I did a thing. I did a
but
thing.
But you got your first script made.
I got my first feature film script made.
Wow, yeah.
Which a lot of people do say to me is very unusual. And I know I know it is unusual now, but I think sometimes ignorance is a good thing.
Yeah.
If you don't know that that's unusual and you're just kind of hell-bent on something, I think it's actually
positive. Maybe you're just good though. You know, don't be modest.
Hopefully.
Maybe you're just good. Ring Maureen Hughes, she comes over. Yeah, you'll do. And here's my film script, remake it. Now, the next song kind of ties into that. It's Dreams by the Cranberries, about the film herself. So herself kind of got a bit unlucky, didn't it? Like there was initially, like you went to Sundance and it was like going to be a huge hit and all that, yeah?
Yeah, we got a bit scuppered by the pandemic, like a lot of movies did. But it was more in the few years leading up to it. Jesus, when I was just writing it myself, I had to kind of believe in this thing that didn't exist yet and just like keep going with it. So I think actually the Cranberry song is in the film. I hope it is. I think it is at one point. But I think I just loved listening to this song because the opposite to you have to see it to believe it. I had to believe it to bloody see it. Like I had to really, really be a bit of a fantasist for a while and believe in this thing. But my mom was brilliant when I was really like having moments of people saying, you'll never get this made, you'll never get this made. I still remember one morning my mom being like, but sure, people said you wouldn't get into a drama school. You did eventually. People said you wouldn't get this. And then you did eventually. So look, if you think it's a good idea and you believe in the idea, it'll happen eventually. And she was right. Like she was kind of flippantly just
Weren't
saying
you
it.
So lucky with your parents that they supported your dreams all the way? Like,
Completely.
Okay, so here it is, Claire Dunne's fourth choice, Dreams by the Cranberries.
Thank you.
That's Dreams by the Cranberries, and that's Claire Dunn's fourth music choice today. And it is indeed, or plays over the credits of the first film script you ever wrote that got made into a feature film herself. When Herself finally came out then, that was in 2021, and that was also when Kin started on RTE. And in fairness, you got lucky again there. The role you got, Amanda, is so fantastic. And like, you're brilliant at doing it and everything, but it is a great role, isn't it?
Oh, it's fabulous. Yeah. Very well written.
Yeah. And so that got put on Netflix. Now, I was talking to Robert Sheehan here, I know, a month or two ago, and he was talking about Netflix and the power of it like that. He had done loads of films and everything, but then when the Umbrella Academy started and it goes on Netflix, he said it's a whole other level of... people recognising you and all that kind of thing. Are you finding that now as Kin is going more out into the world?
I don't know. I don't know if Kin released worldwide on Netflix. I actually don't know what the release was, but I do know, I think I know what he means, because there was this moment, I remember I was in, I was in the city centre with my sister walking through a place, and I started to realise that people started staring at me and walking up to me as if they were a bit hypnotized for a second, but they'd walk towards me like really intensely, right? And they'd walk right up to me and go, you're Amanda. And I'd be like, yeah, hell yeah. and then I realized it was because with Netflix, like, you can just like binge watch something for like 5 hours or a few hours straight, right?
Okay, so you're in their head.
They would have been watching it the night before and then see me on the street. And like, that was so funny. Like, it was just funny because it was like they were having a weird out-of-body experience of, I was just watching you on a screen and now I'm seeing you just on the street walking along, like, you know. So I definitely remember a few moments like that and kind of laughing my head off. But I would say, yeah, in general, when Kin came out, it was a bit more like, oh, yeah, I'm being recognised in the shops kind of thing.
Yeah.
On the street.
You're in a fantastic new Irish film, right? It's called Kathleen Is Here, and it's in cinemas next week. So initially, right, I started watching it and I thought, OK, this is a worthy kind of film about it, you know, kid coming out of care, trauma, that kind of thing, which is fine. Like, then it turns into this really, really dark kind of single white female kind of film. Like, if I was traumatized myself after it.
Yeah, good luck. It's very, it is pretty intense. It was, ironically, it wasn't that intense when we were filming it. It was a joy to film. But the story is, it's really asking people to look at something inside of Hazel Duke's character, Kathleen.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, I think if anyone goes see it, they'll know what I mean by the end, the ending of it as well. It's like really asking you to look at things that are a little bit dark, but also... I think it's also handled with a lot of heart. I think Eva Birthistle does a great job of, like, I don't know, keeping you involved emotionally all along the way. It's a little bit thriller aspect, actually, to
completely,
it.
Completely, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you do really get drawn in as well. And despite, like, moments of real tender emotion between my character and hers, because, as you say, like, single white female, Hazel's character becomes a little bit obsessed with my character, so...
Yeah. It is very creepy. But actually, you're right. You do go away thinking a lot about the kind of social issues side of things afterwards. And then Small Things Like These is out in a few weeks as well.
Yeah. That was a joy to film. That was really, really lovely. I think everybody involved in that was like very passionately attached to it. And I got to see it in Berlin at the opening, and it went down well. I honestly think, I think people will be very moved by it, because I think it's a little bit of a step forward in our stories about the Magdalene laundries. I think it's speaks to something in Irish people's hearts that will be maybe slightly positive, let's say.
Yeah.
And beyond just meditation
on
the
dark chapters kind of thing.
Yeah, not just meditating on the suffering, seeing how people found their own strength and moments of bonding together against a force that was bigger than us that we didn't realise. And I think Killian's very passionate about it, I know, and he is brilliant in this film. I would, honest to God, if I was a betting woman, I'd nearly bet on him getting a nomination for an Oscar again because of it.
Really,
it's really... It's beautiful, yeah.
And the thing is that it, probably the subject matter, etc., it's a small film in a way that might not have been seen without him kind of being involved. But now it's basically the follow-up to Oppenheimer.
It's getting a worldwide release. Like, it's getting a massive release. And because it was directed by somebody that isn't Irish, I think that was kind of a positive thing, actually. It helped the whole production, but also the storytelling of it is very much invites anyone that doesn't know anything about this this kind of world, this setting, this country and this community will understand it. They will be drawn right in and be able to get involved emotionally right from the off.
Okay, look forward to that. You're also in a boxing film that's coming out soon, The Court, with Orlando Bloom, John Turturro and Katrina Balfe. You're also trying to get your own rom-com made.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. Irish rom-com, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of... it was a story that just came to me like instinctively a few years ago. It was during lockdown. And so I'm hoping to get that going. We're just in the process of getting the funding and the production stuff all set up for next year.
I'd say your track record so far would be like falling off a log.
We hope. We're just going to pull the exact right pair together for it. But yeah, it feels
Not going to be in it, no?
I think I'm going to try and direct, which is a little bit
okay.
Nerve-wracking, but I directed a little proof concept about it, and I think because of the style we're doing, I think it's safer for me to direct rather than be in it, because it's just trying to be in two places at once for my first ever directing thing would be a little bit tough.
Yeah. Okay. So do you ever think, now I've made it, I've arrived?
I wonder what that feeling is. I think that's more of an internal feeling that you have to decide to have yourself eventually, because I don't know, like, I do remember being at a writing course when I was younger, and I think it was some woman from Hollywood. She kept saying, there is no throne that you get to, and you sit there and you go, ah, I'm here. She kept drumming that into us. I still remember that at the time. And I think only now in the last few years I'm understanding what that really means. And actually for me, me feeling like I've arrived is more feeling just probably calmer.
Yeah.
And accepting the highs and lows of it all. Because as you say, like, herself went from, you know, we're going to run you for Oscars for, you know, writing and acting, to pandemic hits, a later release, this, that and the other. However, I still made a feature film and I had the most incredible journey of my life. I met incredible people in this country that taught me so much about humanity and made me start to create a story that everybody else got involved in. So, like, I can never be ungrateful for that. I can't just keep looking back and going, but we coulda, shoulda, woulda, you know, went on an Oscar trail, you know what I mean? So I think that's taught me to nurture a certain strength of spirit and stay calm and just go with the flow of it, like the ups and downs of it. And I'd say that's more what I've learned, there's some grand moment that you've arrived. I don't know if that exists.
So in other words, you'll always be hustling, really, is the life of an actor and a writer.
Just keep going.
Okay, yeah. So your final song brings us back to where we started, To Your Family.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, it's because I come from a very big tribe, but at home we are firm practicers of the sesh, the kitchen sesh, and this would be one of our all-time favourite songs and movies, actually. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
And me and my sisters, like, we were actually all at a wedding a few weeks ago, and if this song ever comes on, just, like, push the furniture back, like, we're going to go mad. So, yeah.
Okay. So, Claire Dunne's latest film, Kathleen Is Here, opens in Irish cinemas this Friday, October 18th. Claire, thanks very much. So everybody, push the furniture back now. You, me, them, everybody. The Blues Brothers, everybody needs somebody to love. Thanks, Claire.
Thank you.